Some questions answered, the last spot locked up, a few playoff matchups determined, we went from 2 to 5, and a few more left to be decided. We might get some more clarity on that tonight. Thank you for joining us. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Good morning, hockey. It is your host, Tassos Kyrkos, and what a night it was yesterday in the National Hockey League. The Washington Capitals clinched the final wild card spot, thanks to an empty netter from TJ Oshie, and everybody else is out now. No more playoff hopes for the Detroit Red Wings. As valiant an effort as they gave that Penguins Islanders tonight will not mean anything, really. And the Flyers, I mean, they needed regulation wins to get in. That is why John Tortorella pulled his goalie with a little over 3 minutes left. And now here we are. The Washington Capitals will face the New York Rangers in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We have all of our Eastern matchups set. The other two being the Battle of Florida, Florida Panthers taking the Atlantic Division title. Second time in the last 3 years that they've done that. They will face the Red Hot Lightning and the Boston Bruins taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Get your popcorn ready, everybody. Still three playoff matchups in the West to be determined. Winnipeg clinches home ice in their matchup against Colorado. So I want to start with the Capitals here. So they will take on the New York Rangers. That is the sixth time in the last 20 years that the Rangers and Capitals have played each other. The only other teams to meet at least five times in that span are the Rangers and the Penguins. They've met five times, as well as the Senators and Penguins, who have also met five times. So I wanted to pull up this timeline here. What was a very wild 15-minute span. You know, it has been arguably a very long time since we have seen a playoff race this down to the wire. Game 82, four different clubs in contention for one spot, needing different things, needing each other to lose. It was just a very chaotic 15 minutes, and I want to break it down and run through it here just because it was a very, very exciting time. We're going to keep it short here today, by the way. So a quick show for all of you here, but I wanted to start with this. The 15 minutes between 9:33 p.m. Eastern time and 9:48 p.m. Eastern time. So at 9:33, trailing 4-3 and needing at least a point to stay in playoff contention, the Red Wings tied the game with 5 seconds remaining in the third period in Montreal. David Perron, that was awesome. A minute later, 9:34. Tied 1-1 and needing a regulation win to stay in playoff contention, the Flyers pull their goalie with 3:11 remaining in the third period in Philadelphia. 9:34. Detroit secures at least 1 point, staying in contention if Washington does not earn a point. With that, Philadelphia was also eliminated. So at the same time, they pull the goalie. 9:35. Washington scores a go-ahead goal with 3 minutes remaining in the third period in Philadelphia. 9:35 also, Philadelphia pulls its goaltender once again in an effort to secure a regulation win. 9:44, Washington secures that 2-1 regulation victory to clinch the 16th and final playoff spot. And then 9:48, Detroit secures a shootout victory in Montreal, their second third period comeback win in as many days against the Canadiens. But by that time, they had already been eliminated from playoff contention. So a lot of heartbreak from the Detroit Red Wings and their fan base, their team. Look, they put up a very, very valiant effort to do what they did. Being down in as many games as they were, it wasn't just the two games against the Habs. They've pulled off some really miraculous comebacks over the last handful of games. They really recovered from a pretty tough stretch after being up by as many as 8 points in the playoffs. They proceeded to fall out of it and then get themselves right back in there. So a very wild 15 minutes. And now we have our playoffs determined. I know that some people were, you know, John Tortorella said that he did not know the score of the Red Wings game when he pulled his goaltender and that he most likely would have done it anyways. They needed a regulation win. You cannot fault him for doing what he did and not really knowing the score to another hockey game. And even still, it wouldn't have made too terribly much of a difference. We just might have found out a different way as opposed to an empty netter. And look, everybody that's making a lot about the Washington Capitals goal differential, I understand. I hear that. But at the same point, they deserve to be there. You have Charlie Lindgren, who has been just tremendous for the Capitals, not just recently, but over the entire season. And, you know, the resurgence of Alex Ovechkin scores a big one yesterday. He finishes the regular season with 31 goals. And this is a team, like, I don't know how much noise they are going to make in the playoffs, but I would not want to play this team. Everybody is giving the Rangers this one in a walk. And I don't really feel that same way. So, should be an exciting matchup. We'll touch on all the playoff matchups today and the rest of the week leading into Saturday. But a few notes on the Capitals' playoff appearance. So Washington is set to make their 15th postseason appearance since 2005-2006, that being the season of Alexander Ovechkin's NHL debut. Only Pittsburgh has more playoff appearances over that span with 16. Alexander Ovechkin is also currently 10th all-time in playoff goals with a single franchise. He is 4 behind Mario Lemieux, who is at 76. Jean Beliveau is at 79 with Montreal. And Marc Messier is 80 with Edmonton. So, you know, we might see him climb up the list depending on how much the Capitals need him, what kind of opportunities he gets, what kind of looks he gets in the playoffs, and how far they are able to go. John Carlson also needs 1 point to surpass Gary Suter for 4th place in playoff scoring amongst U.S.-born defensemen. My one question about the Capitals and the playoffs is, Charlie Lindgren was relied upon a lot during this last stretch of games here, you know, playing the back-to-back against the Bruins and the Flyers. Might we see Darcy Kuemper between the pipes for the Washington Capitals? Might we see a little bit of a goaltender rotation? A big part of what this first round looks like for me, one of my storylines, if not my headline, is what goalies are going to be fatigued. Whether that is in the first round, second round, third round, or final, although I don't know that you will be getting to the Stanley Cup final with a fatigued netminder. You know, we're going to see Boston. We're going to talk a little bit about Boston taking on Toronto. Will we see both goaltenders for both teams, really? Jeremy Swayman and Linus Allmark. It looks like Jeremy Swayman is going to get the initial nod, but you would have to imagine that at some point Jim Montgomery looks to turn to Linus Allmark. Same goes for the Maple Leafs. Will it be Ilya Samsonov or Joe Woll? And my point in bringing this up here is Charlie Lindgren has been very good, one of the best goalies in the National Hockey League, at least over the last 2 months. You can make an argument he's been one of the best goalies all year. 6 shutouts on the season for the Capitals. But, you know, Darcy Kuemper has this Stanley Cup playoff pedigree, Stanley Cup champion himself with the Colorado Avalanche, in a postseason in which he was not asked to make every save. Yes, he was in for a majority of the games, but Darcy Kuemper succumbed to Pavel Francouz at different points during that Stanley Cup run. And, you know, the only time Washington won a Stanley Cup back in 2018, Philip Grubauer was the one getting the first couple of starts before Braden Holtby came in and went the rest of the way. So I know it is Charlie Lindgren's net now, and that is much deserved. But might it be good to see Darcy Kuemper get in goal a few times during the course of not just the first round, but if they go beyond, making sure that these guys stay busy and these guys stay active. You know, Sergei Bobrovsky did not start the playoffs last season for the Florida Panthers. And now here they are, a bona fide contender. So the Capitals are in. They will take on the Rangers. The Panthers are in, although we knew that. They take down the Maple Leafs 5-2 yesterday, scoring 5 straight goals. And they claim their 4th division title in franchise history, 2nd in 3 seasons, having last achieved the feat in 21-22. Also notably the season that they were eliminated by the Tampa Bay Lightning in round two. That is going to be a very, very good playoffs. If you were writing it up, this was probably the way that you wanted it, although it looked very much like, and I was on here saying that it looked like we were going to get a Florida Panthers-Toronto Maple Leafs first round matchup. That would mean the Bruins taking on the Lightning. However, those two teams decided to flip-flop Boston, like I said, losing their last two games. So Tampa Bay has won. Let's move over to Florida-Tampa Bay a little bit just because I think that is going to be probably the series of the first round. I mean, there's no real other way to put it other than Tampa Bay is peaking right now, and Florida has been that team for quite some time now where they've just been playing an incredibly high level of hockey, and everything seems to be coming together. After that 21-22 season loss to the Lightning via a second-round sweep, Panthers did a lot of evaluation, obviously trading Mackenzie Weegar and Jonathan Huberdeau for Matthew Tkachuk, and they realized they needed to get deeper. They needed to get more aggressive, not get pushed around as much, and they haven't. They've really changed that identity. They brought in Paul Maurice in place of Andrew Brunette. A lot of people questioned that. A lot of people questioned what kind of direction that was going to bring this franchise, if that was really the right move, and boy, did it ever end up being the right move. So this is going to be a good matchup. I don't think it'll be a four-game sweep either way. You know, Florida's been very, very good. I mean, I can't wait for this playoff matchup. Like I said, probably the most watched television, the most guaranteed you got to watch this out of all of the eight playoff matchups in the first round, although they will all be good. So Dallas Stars can wrap up the Central Division today. That would have to come with a win over the St. Louis Blues. I am just looking here to see if there's any other way. Actually, they just need one point over the St. Louis Blues to clinch that. They've already clinched the Central. Clinched the Western Conference, my bad. The Vancouver Canucks clinching the Pacific Division yesterday. So if the playoffs began today, what the matchups would look like that aren't already set, Dallas would take on Los Angeles, Vancouver would take on Nashville, and Edmonton would take on Las Vegas. Golden Knights obviously jumping above the Los Angeles Kings with that 3-1 win over the Blackhawks. Only one game left for you Blackhawks fans to watch this team. But yeah, I mean, look, we're right around the corner from the playoffs. Some of these storylines are already wrapping themselves up a little bit here. It's just who is going to take sorry, I got a computer glitch here. Who's going to take some of these spots? I think the one that everybody's looking for right now is if Vegas and Los Angeles will stay where they are, or if they will flip spots as well. Both of those teams will wrap up their seasons on Thursday. The Kings will take on the Blackhawks, and the Golden Knights will take on the Ducks. So both teams win. Vegas plays Edmonton, and Los Angeles wins, and the Anaheim Ducks beat the Golden Knights. We will get Edmonton versus Los Angeles in the first round. We're going to get some good teams out of the first round of the playoffs, regardless of if it is Dallas and LA or Dallas and Vegas in the first round, or even that matchup we already talked about, the one we already know about, the Winnipeg Jets taking on the Colorado Avalanche. Like we said, Winnipeg will have home ice in that one. One of those teams is going to leave and be out in the first round, a very unhappy team. Discuss amongst yourselves if it is time for a 1-8 change back to the Stanley Cup playoffs. I've heard a lot of discourse that this is the year, this playoff run, these matchups, this is the determinant into we should go back to 1-8. I agree with that 100%. I think you know, this might be the death knell for this current playoff format. I just think it brings a little bit more juice to the end of the regular season here. I've heard some things that Boston maybe was not trying. There's some statistical things that point to the argument that maybe the Bruins weren't going full foot on the gas pedal their last two games. Certain things like time on ice for some of the star players and different things like that, obviously falling to the Ottawa Senators on home ice 3-1 yesterday. These are still National Hockey Leaguers, everybody. I know that they are trying. We all know that they are trying, but facing Tampa Bay is a very tough proposition. And for a little bit there, it did not feel like the Boston Bruins wanted to really claim that Atlantic Division title. That is probably not something that the NHL loves to see very much. Some of their teams backing into the playoffs as opposed to really gunning for the highest seeding possible. Going back to a 1-8 would probably bring about some, I don't want to say more even playoff matchups, because look, the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, every team has an opportunity to win. Out of the 16 teams in the field, you could argue that about 14 of them are real, true Stanley Cup contenders. So I just think it would bring a bit more evenness to the first round. You wouldn't get as many good teams pairing up against each other in the first round, which I understand is part of the draw of the opening round of the playoffs. The fact that everybody's playing, you have games every night, and you know, some good teams are going to be left out. I just would rather see the rounds get better and the matchups get better as the playoffs go on. I know the argument that right now these teams are at their healthiest, and after two rounds of beating each other up, you know, the Western Conference Final or the Eastern Conference Final looks different, and these teams play different. If you really have two of the best teams in each conference facing off against each other in the Final Four, you know, I would argue you always want your best teams in each round. Although I do see the argument for something like that, and you know, you get teams like Florida last year who go on these miraculous runs, and it will be interesting to see nonetheless. I think there's a big argument for change to the playoff system, but here we are. We're just going to enjoy the hockey put in front of us, and we will go from there and take these updates as they come. We're going to get to some NHL debuts later on too. A couple of retirements, Chris Weidman and Lori Korpikoski, former NHLers who are not playing this season, but those two hang up the skates. So we'll talk about those a little later. I just wanted to make a quick congratulations to Jeff Rimmer, play-by-play voice of the Columbus Blue Jackets, 20 years in Columbus. You know, a voice for a generation of Columbus Blue Jackets fans. He was very, very good at his job. And if you have not checked out the pregame lineup read, I know, you know, a lot of people are sick of this stuff, but very good, very inspirational. You could tell it meant a lot to Jeff Rimmer. And they went out and they played their best hockey. I guess we'll get to these NHL debuts now. Columbus had two of them. Gavin Brindley making his NHL debut, and Luca Delbel-Beluz also making his debut and firing a shot. First shot just about 3.5 minutes into his first game. That was very impressive. Columbus takes down Carolina 6-3 in both of their season finales. Few debuts on the Carolina side as well. Jackson Blake and Bradley Nadeau both getting into games. Carolina scratching a lot of their regulars. So that is those teams. And those were some of the NHL debuts we saw. I was very excited for Blake and Nadeau. Kind of a rough night for them. Not really getting to play with the big boys too. I'm almost certain the game almost had a bit of preseason vibes to it. We're at that point now where especially today and tomorrow, some of these games are going to have preseason vibes as teams start calling up young guys, giving guys opportunities that they've just signed to burn that first year off the entry level. Looks like we'll get a Cutter Gauthier debut tomorrow in that Anaheim Ducks Vegas Golden Knights game. Four games around the horn tonight. We mentioned the Dallas Stars taking on the St. Louis Blues, the opportunity to clinch the Western Conference for them. And we already mentioned that Penguins-Islanders game that had all the juice to be be the highlight game of the night, the one that everybody was tuned into. Can Sidney Crosby make the playoffs? And they will not, alas. They will miss the playoffs for the second straight season. And that had to be tough, sitting around and hoping that the chips fall where you wanted them to, and needing certain teams to lose, needing the Habs to win, needing the Flyers to win, and watching both of those teams lose, not being able to do anything about your season ending. So that is one game. And then the last game of the night is one that I will probably be watching the most. And that will be the 10 p.m. Oilers taking on the Arizona Coyotes in what looks like it will be the final chapter of that franchise in Arizona before moving on to Salt Lake City this summer. And, you know, we talked a little bit about the party that's going to be going on outside, the viewing party, the gathering for all the fans, practice yesterday for the Coyotes. Really good article on the Hockey News written. Does not actually have a writer on here. Remy Masti wrote this article. I lied. Good warm feelings around the practice yesterday. A lot of media that hasn't been there maybe the entire season made their way out to Coyotes practice yesterday. And I have given a lot of credit to the battle of this team. Andre Tourney has really done a good job of keeping these guys head on when the noise from the outside is very loud. And it's hard on these players. I heard Lawson Crouse talking yesterday and talking about how difficult it is. And to pretend that it is not is just misguided and not true. So I'm sure it will be a very, very emotional night tonight at Mullet Arena. Maybe we will look to get someone on tomorrow that maybe is inside the building or outside the building. So that way we can really talk about it, because I think this is going to be almost cathartic for a lot of Arizona Coyotes fans. You have to feel for these fans. I'm not going to do a long expose here on this because this is a conversation that we have had and will continue to have as news of relocation and the entire process of relocation unfolds before us. But the Coyotes fans have really been dragged through the mud the last really 10 years. And the fact that there are people that care for this team and about hockey in this market as much as they do is remarkable, considering all the uncertainty, all the false glimmers of hope that they had. It is still very, very impressive what they've been able to do in coming together. And you just really have to feel for a lot of these Coyotes fans. I know hockey will still exist in the desert. What is to be seen with the Tucson Roadrunners will still yet to be determined what will happen there. But they will host the Edmonton Oilers tonight in a game that I'm sure there will be a lot of tears, both happy and sad. It's the end of a chapter there, and we will see what, there are rumors that a lot of the Coyotes players are going to go as soon as tomorrow out to Salt Lake City to view the facilities that they will be playing in next season. There are still a lot of questions about what the hockey operations department looks like and what happens with a lot of the staff. Who will be going to Salt Lake City and who will not? And will Ryan Smith be looking to form a group of his own, a team and staff of his own, both on the hockey ops and the operations side? You'd almost have to imagine that because Smith already owns the Utah Jazz, that a lot of the business operations staff will almost double up on the Utah Jazz side of things, and that they will sort of exist as one entity. We will see how that goes. Should be an exciting game tonight. I know those Coyotes players are going to play with one, heavy hearts, and two, a lot of passion. They will not go out easily, even though this game means nothing to the standings. I don't know if we will see Connor McDavid in this one, or if the Oilers will choose to rest their captain, if they will rest 97. This coming from Denver, Denver University, Denver Hockey. Red Wings have signed Shea Bouillon to a 3-year entry-level deal. The older brother of Zeev, projected top 5 pick in the draft this year. Shea had 7 goals, 36 points through 43 games played with the Denver Pioneers. Two-time national champion as well for Shea Bouillon. So Red Wings get a good one. Former second-round pick, 36 overall by the Red Wings in 2021. We all await to see where his brother will go in the opening round of the playoffs, or in the opening round of the in the draft. Should be a good one. We are going to talk a little bit of draft in a little bit here, only because we got our NHL Central Scouting's final rankings, both for the international skaters and the international skaters and the North American ones. Ziv Bouillon currently placing fourth amongst North American skaters. Macklin Celebrini, Artem Levchinov, Caden Lindstrom are your 1, 2, 3, followed by a run of 3 out of 4 defensemen. Trevor Conley, by the way, keep that name in mind, a left winger from Tri-City, the Tri-City Storm of the USHL. He has been very, very good and probably one of the more under-the-radar prospects as we head into the draft. So we're going to do a little draft talk in a second here, but I just wanted to get that across because that just came across our desks now, the Shea Bouillon signing. That's a good one for the Red Wings. I know, you know, going into this offseason, I know that there are going to be, and there probably are, a lot of very upset people, both inside and outside the Red Wings organization, fans of the team, and people who are involved with it. You know, being in a playoff spot by so many points, holding a lead that you think you will not relinquish, and then doing so, it's hard. That's a very difficult way to look at it. And there are a couple of things that the Red Wings will need to address in the offseason. I think changing the defense a little bit is going to be one. And obviously the goaltending, I think, is going to be number two. Alex Lyon and James Reimer were very good for this team at different points of the season, but Alex Lyon was not even supposed to be the guy this year. That was supposed to be Ville Husso, who did not play very much this season, and they ended up turning to Alex Lyon, who obviously had his run with the Florida Panthers last year to get them into the playoffs and was very good for the Red Wings, but you could tell that there were stretches that he was fatigued and had played way too many games in a row. And it was starting to wear on a guy that had not played that many games consecutively at the NHL level. So I would anticipate that there is some move to be made there for Detroit, and also the defense too. Moritz Seider had a really terrific season, especially by the end of it. You could tell that he was the leader of that team from the back end. But don't discount Simon Edvinson, who was a late season call up to try and give this team a spark. He most certainly did. He was very, very good in all of the games he played. Look for him going from outsider call-up to full-time NHLer next season on the back end for Detroit. But they also have some other questions to answer with some of these guys. I know Justin Hall is one of them, and Ben Chiarot, among others. So it's a good season in Detroit, obviously. You know, a lot better than last year, a lot of market improvement from them, but look for things to kind of shift here a little bit. And obviously the question still remains of, will Patrick Kane resign? And if he does, what does that contract look like? Will it be multiple years? Will he even stick around in Detroit? You know, obviously living in Chicago, a lot of the narrative in the air is bringing Patrick Kane back to Chicago, which I know... Patrick Kane talked a little bit about in his return here, saying that he would be open to it. I don't know if that means as soon as this offseason, but something to monitor, definitely, going forward. Montreal Canadiens also exercising a 2-year option on Marty St. Louis' contract. He now has three. He's now under contract for the next 3 seasons. So Canadiens get their coach locked up as well. Marty St. Louis has done a really tremendous job with this Montreal Canadiens team. I know it has been a very tough season for them, but if we're sitting here talking about Atlantic Division teams with hopes of rebounding and really showing growth, I mean, this is a rebuild more so than anything for the Montreal Canadiens, more so than the Detroit Red Wings are in right now. But for Montreal, obviously, Logan Mailloux made his NHL debut yesterday. And Lane Hutson, just looking very, very good through two games in the National Hockey League, gets another assist off that deflection goal by Juraj Slafkovský. We will get there in a second. But there are a lot of reasons for optimism here. They've played in the most one-goal games in the National Hockey League. I think I have that correctly. I read it before, and I didn't write it down. But they've played in over 41-goal games in the NHL this season. So all that means is they are in these games and a few bounces either way, and they have significantly more wins and points. So that means this team is playing hard, they're playing the right way, and they are keeping themselves in close games, games that really they have no business being in. So lots of reasons for hope in Montreal, and among them are Marty St. Louis being given that team option for another two seasons. I wanted to make this quick note about the Montreal Canadiens and Juraj Slafkovský, who he announced he will be representing Slovakia at the 2024 World Championships this year. Keep in mind, he represented Slovakia in 2021 and 2022, and also won a bronze medal as MVP at the 2022 Olympics in Beijing. But I wanted to make this quick note. So the Lane Hutson assist off the Juraj Slafkovský goal. First of all, if you haven't seen the goal, it is just a very nice tip, obviously, but the dancing and the moves that Lane Hutson is putting on at the blue line in only just his second NHL game, it is really remarkable. I mean, this guy's skating, the fakes, all of it is translating well to the National Hockey League, I guess you could say. I know it's only two games, but the confidence to even make these moves at this level, only two games in, and sure enough, he was doing it in the first game on Monday, but to do this two games in just shows where this kid's head's at, the confidence to be able to do it. Like, that is some high confidence level stuff right there. And Juraj Slafkovský in front of the net. I know it is a tip, but one, it is a nice tip. Very good getting open, and I think it just speaks to the growth of his game. Juraj Slafkovský really needed to figure out how to use his big frame effectively in the NHL, not only just in the corners, but in front of the net, making sure that nobody is really pushing you out of the way and dominating you physically, and that, you know, Juraj Slafkovský has all the tools to be able to dominate others physically. And now he's applying that. And also just the skill was always there for him. And part of it was opportunity too, although he probably was not ready last year for the opportunities he was given at the end of the season this year. But nonetheless, I wanted to bring this up. So he gets the goal off the Lane Hutson assist, and Juraj Slafkovský nets his 20th goal. That was his 20th goal and his 50th point of the season, securing a $250,000 bonus. Nice. Love that. Love to see that happen on the last game of the season. That is coming from Marco D'Amico on Twitter, but or I should say X. But love to see that kind of stuff. I'm sure a couple more of those stories will trickle out as the NHL season wraps up. But I thought that was very, very cool. And so Juraj Slafkovský also, we will see more of him at the World Championships this year. I should mention too, Rasmus Dahlin. Will this is according to various sources, have confirmed that Rasmus Dahlin will represent Sweden at the World Championships as well. Previously played at the 17 and 18 World Juniors, 18 Olympics, and the 2022 World Championships. So he was supposed to play at last year's event before a nagging injury and a few insurance issues got in the way of that. So we are not done with some of these elite high-end players playing hockey the rest of the way. And a question now that is going to probably start being asked a little bit, and if it hasn't, then let us be the first. Will we see Connor Bedard and Sidney Crosby representing Canada at the World Championships this year? Both of them are obviously on the outside looking in of the playoffs. Both of them have one game remaining on their NHL schedules. Will they play in the playoffs? Will they play in the World Championships, for that matter? A lot of these teams are sending very, very good teams. The United States is going to be loaded at the Worlds this year. you know, I would love to see Sid go over. It's been a while since he's gone over and done that. And, you know, obviously that would probably be very cool for Connor Bedard to get to play with his idol at the world. So we will keep an eye on that story. And if that hasn't been brought up yet, then I hope we are the first to do it. Want to make this quick note, too. This is from the University of Michigan. Gavin Brindley, we mentioned him making his debut yesterday. 116th Michigan Wolverine to make his NHL debut. So one of the premier programs as far as NHL development. You heard Frank Nazar talking about that after, I think it was after the first or second period of his Hawks debut on Sunday when he scored that goal, giving all the credit to the University of Michigan, saying just how well that they develop players into the National Hockey League, and how that was the reason he went to go be a Wolverine, was he knew that they would just give him the best shot at doing so. So also wanted to point this out about the Capitals, too. I know we were, and I'm here to discredit the narrative of goal differential here, but this is the stat that you will probably hear more than twice today. Capitals have a minus 37 goal differential. That is the worst by a playoff-bound team since the Hartford Whalers were a minus 38 and the Vancouver Canucks were a whopping minus 72 in 1990-1991. That does not matter, however, in my mind, because, you know, like I said, they're in. That is just going to be something that a lot of teams throw around to or fan bases of other teams or media members to discredit the fact that they are in the playoffs. Don't let that discourage you, however, Washington Capitals fans. You are in the playoffs. One more University of Michigan note, too. Marshall Warren signing a two-year entry-level deal with his hometown New York Islanders. He is a native of Laurel Hollow, New York, signing a two-year entry-level deal that begins in 2024-25. He was originally drafted by the Minnesota Wild, although they elected not to sign him. And if I have to admit, I don't really understand that one a whole heck of a lot. You know, this is a very, very good player, one that has been very good at the college level for some time now, and one whose game I feel translates to the National Hockey League level. Might as well wrap up the college talk. Cruz Lucius officially transfers to Arizona State for the following season. We mentioned that was most likely going to happen at some point here. And I should also mention, Massimo Rizzo just signed with the Philadelphia Flyers as well. We're going to touch on that in a second. Yeah, I just wanted to say Marshall Warren was drafted 166th overall by Minnesota in 2019. But they did not sign him to a contract. I needed to do a little research, or I need to do a little research, maybe I'll do this tomorrow, as to why he was able to sign and did not have to wait until August, which I think is generally the point of college free agents who have stuck it out the entire way being able to sign. But Massimo Rizzo, we just announced that Denver saw Shea Bouillon leave to the Red Wings. Well, they have now also seen their star forward Massimo Rizzo leaving to go sign with the Flyers. He was originally drafted by Carolina, but had his rights traded to Philly. 44 points in 30 games for Rizzo. He also played for Canada at the Spengler Cup this year. Also a two-time national champion with the Denver Pioneers. So, and really good interview. I saw this on Chicklets the other day. Really good interview with David Carl. For those of you that do not know, David Carl is the head coach at Denver University. I always want to call it the University of Denver. I don't know why I do that, but Denver University, the Pioneers, head coach there, has been for quite a few years now. Took over for Jim Montgomery, and you know, this is a guy who should be really coaching in the National Hockey League at some point soon. But just the way how composed he is, the way he talks about life and hockey and his players and opportunity and the process that they go through at Denver and what he looks for in players. I mean, it was great stuff. I would not be surprised if the NHL comes calling soon, although he did say that While it is not something he is entertaining, he would consider it if it were a situation that he could not turn down. So we will see what kind of opportunity that is for David Carl. I think he is very happy, though, at Denver, continuing to compete for national titles. They will continue to do that as long as he is there. Good stuff from them. We're getting a lot of these college hockey signings. I'm a big fan of some of these guys making the move to the next level. Rizzo is going to be a very good player for the Flyers, and Shea Bouillon will be a good one for the Red Wings. On that note, I feel like we should just get to the central scouting. Since we are talking prospects, let's just finish it up and close the book there. So central scouting released their final rankings for international and North American skaters for the 2024 Upper Deck NHL Draft. That list coming out yesterday, Macklin Celebrini, obviously, as we mentioned, is the number one skater in North America. But Anton Salayev is the top international skater. He is a 6'7", 211-pound defenseman playing with Torpedo in the KHL. 63 regular season games under his belt for them. 74 block shots, 98 hits, 103 shots on goal in 63 games. So I've watched some of Anton Salayev. I've also watched some of Ivan Demidov, who is number two on this list. Both of them are very, very good. They could not be more different players, but giving Salayev the top spot seems to make sense considering the need for defense around the league and the unknown of how well some offense, especially from some of these other leagues, is going to translate. Although Demidov looks very, very dynamic, but Salayev, from everything I've heard and everything I've seen myself, he just looks so composed in the KHL, which is very, very hard to do at that age, and something that doesn't even really happen. You don't really get much opportunity in the KHL as a draft eligible player, but some of these European scouts seem to think that he could play in the NHL almost immediately, which is a very tough thing. That is very high praise to heap on a defenseman, especially one that is about 17 years old. Although keep in mind that his contract with Torpedo runs through 2025-26. So any team that acquires this player will not be seeing him in their lineup for at least after the next two seasons. He's also unable to play, obviously, in the World Junior Championships since Russia is banned from international tournaments. I'm a big fan of Salayev. I think in this year's draft, and we're going to get to the North American side here in a moment, but I think, and I'll make a little mock draft, and we'll get some people on. We'll discuss this. We'll get people on that really talk about this stuff and really delve deep into this stuff. Especially after playoffs, as we, one, look to fill up some airtime, and two, look to get ready for the draft. We will bring on some people that really specialize in this level of hockey and in this analysis. But I think we are going to see a run of North American skaters go with the first 5 to 7 picks. I would not be surprised if Salayev and Demidov are inserted in there at some points. I just think, especially if you are picking in the top three and even in the top five, depending on what team you are, you are going to look to want to get your hands on that player as quickly as possible. So don't be too terribly surprised if we see some of these players. So let me go over to this, the North American rankings. So we mentioned the top three being Celebrini, Lev Shinov, and Caden Lindstrom of the Medicine Hat Tigers of the WHL. I am a very big fan of this kid. And then Zeev Bouillon coming in at number four. Following that is Zane Perak, who has been really tremendous all season for Saginaw. We will see them in the Memorial Cup. So this kid is going to get some more, just more eyeballs on him as the season wraps up here. But he has been very, very good all year long. I mentioned Trevor Conley, too. He potentially coming in at the steal of the draft, although he is ranked number 6 overall. London Knights defenseman Sam Dickinson coming in at number 7. And you know, followed by Berkeley Catton, who has been very good. I don't have him ranked very high personally on my own rankings. A lot of these, we're going to have to have a deep discussion with this, someone else one day, but the scoring in the WHL, the scoring in the CHL really entirely, but some of these leagues feel a little different. And the Quebec League is normally painted as the league in which offense flourishes the most, goals per game being the highest and all the like, goaltender numbers being the lowest. But we are seeing some players put up big numbers in the WHL, and I don't know for certain if it's going to translate. I prefer when I watch the WHL and see some of these highlights to see who imposes their will physically more in a league that, yes, is open to offense a lot, but is also very rough and tumble as well. Who is able to physically assert themselves? Caden Lindstrom is one of those players. That's why I'm very high on him and why everybody is very high on him. But also Teej Aginla. And I've been talking about Teej a lot. He is currently making his mark and making his presence felt in the Western Hockey League playoffs with Kelowna. Look, I think this guy is going to be very, very good, has the potential to be a 40-goal scorer in the National Hockey League. So, long story long, we have some very, very good players here. Followed by, so the top 10 rounds out with Michael Haig of the Chicago Steel of the USHL. So, and then you got other guys like Cole Iserman, who was projected to go as high as number 2 at various points in the season. Liam Greentree, captain of the Windsor Spitfires, falling in at number 14. Followed by some others. I'm very high on Sasha Boisvert, and Ryder Ritchie, other guys. There's a lot of good talent in this year's draft, both on the North American side and on the international skater side. One player to watch out for on the international skater side, currently coming in at number 5 on the final ranking, Michael Brandzæg Nygaard. He is from Norway, currently playing for Mora in the Sweden Div 2, the Allsvenskan. Just electric. I mean, this guy is going to, I think, make a lot of teams regret on not picking him when all is said and done. I envision him going in the mid-20s range of the draft, but this is a guy that you are going to probably regret not taking in your top 15. But I just think that there's going to be a large run of North American skaters. I think the gap between a guy like Ivan Demidov and the current number 3 on this list, Konstantin Helenius, and the number 4, Adam Yarchuk, I think that gap is very large. And you also have the factors in of the contract uncertainty with Saliev and Demidov. So I would not be surprised. Maybe this is a bit of a hot take, but let's say the first 7 skaters, this is probably going to be a take that is shown back at me, and I will be laughed at for this. But let's say the first 7 skaters are going to be North American skaters before we see either Saliev or Demidov come off the board. I've seen both of those players go 2-3 after Celebrini in a lot of mock rankings, a lot of people who really, really do this, but I just think we're going to see a large run of North American skaters. So as far as goalies this year too, Emil Vinny is a good netminder. He is the top ranked international goaltender. Mikhail Yegorov of Omaha in the USHL is currently the number 1. I'm a Carter George guy myself. I think he's been very good for the Owen Sound Attack. Dawson Cowan is also a name to keep in mind. I'm going to take a quick drink of coffee here. But we are going to transition a little bit from this to the PWHL, which re-kicks off its season 5 days off Women's World Championships. And we got 2 matchups tonight. First game since March 25th for the league. All right, we're back. 2 games. Like I mentioned, Toronto will visit Boston today and Minnesota will visit Montreal. Currently Natalie Spooner leading the league in both goals with 15 and points with 20. Toronto still atop the PWHL standings with 36 points, Minnesota nipping at their heels. So 2 exciting games tonight. I will have my eye on both of those. And the regular season is wrapping up soon for the PWHL. I think they only have 5 games left, although I want to just make certain of that. The regular season for the PWHL will wrap up Sunday, May 5th with a matchup of Ottawa versus Toronto. So we are nearing the stretch run here. We're in the thick of it, I guess. Lots of games still to go in the PWHL, but we are still getting close to wrapping things up in what should be also a very exciting playoff, too. Oh, boy. Losing the voice here. Been a long couple weeks, obviously. Lots of talking, lots of hockey, lots of exciting stuff bouncing around. You got the draft, you got college hockey, international hockey, everything's in the playoffs right now. European hockey, some are well deep into their playoffs by now, either second, third, or championship rounds are about to begin. Women's Worlds, Men's Worlds coming up. We have a lot to be excited about. PWHL season wrapping up. So a lot of talking has been done, and a lot of talking still to do. But those are your games for tonight. That's essentially the wrap on the story today. Enjoy the four games tonight. We will see if we can see Austin Matthews hit 70. That will be his final opportunity to do so. I don't know if what kind of lineup the Tampa Bay Lightning are going to put out. Looking to see if we have any notes on the starting goaltenders. It looks like Matt Tompkins is going to get the start in net for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So that is to be determined if Austin Matthews is able to blow number 70 by him. But other than that, like I said, Dallas can wrap up the Western Conference here. Other than that, we will await some more games tomorrow. Six on tap for tomorrow after four today. And then we will have a nice break of no games on Friday. So enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the playoff breakdowns that you will see from all sorts of media outlets. We have five playoff rounds already, or five playoff matchups already determined, three to go. So enjoy those. Enjoy the rest of the hockey. Rangers fans, celebrate your President's Trophy win. And we look forward to the playoffs. I mean, I can't wait for this playoffs to start. We are going to have a lot of fun. So and we'll preview all that on Friday, too, once everything is set and determined and we have a bit more clarity on what's going on there. But enjoy the action today, whether that is NHL, PWHL. If you are an Arizona Coyotes fan, soak it in tonight. Enjoy it. Celebrate the Coyotes, and it should be a very nice atmosphere there. Have a great rest of your day. Check out On the Gravel if you haven't already. Leave 5 stars, all the stuff. Leave a comment, leave a review, give a thumbs up if you watch this on YouTube, or if you watch On the Gravel on YouTube, give them a thumbs up as well. And have a great rest of your day, everybody. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you tomorrow morning. Bye-bye. I have turned the floor of this